Hello, and welcome to another episode of my podcast, Stepping Up. My name is Sue Reed, and every week I provide a platform for people to tell their story of how they have faced and overcome a challenge in their life. Here is today's story. My guest today is Christine from Montreal in Canada. Christine is here to talk about the sexual harassment that she suffered at a previous workplace. Now, at the time, she told no one, choosing to leave the toxic environment instead. But then Christine discovered that the woman who had replaced her was also suffering sexual harassment from the same person. So welcome to the show, Christine. It's lovely to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Sue. I appreciate it.
Oh, so yeah, horrible situation to happen to anybody, clearly. How did it start though? When did you first notice something wasn't quite right?
I was working for a small, very small company with no human resources or anything. It was just two partners, and one partner traveled a lot. So it ended up being me and this other boss that were often alone. And so it was just the different things he would say about either the way I was dressed or it just was inappropriate looks or different things like that, or just comments, just plain comments that were just so inappropriate to say in a workplace. And so to be honest, I really didn't even realize what I was going through until after that person sort of decided to file a complaint. And that's when I really labeled what I was going through. I didn't even know what I was going through. I actually recently saw a social media post on disassociating, where you're physically present but mentally gone. And I think that's what I pretty much did for the whole 5 years I went through that. I just was there to work and get paid, and anything else I couldn't deal with. I just was trying to find all the positive sides of my job and just stick with it because stress was just destroying me inside, and I just didn't want to have to like face it because of other reasons why I couldn't leave at the time.
Yeah. So apart from that, did you like your job? Was it, you know, something you enjoyed?
Not all that much, because I guess of what I was suffering. I even developed asthma, which I never had asthma. And I only realize it now, like when I do a lot of like reading on personal development books. And one of them is about how certain ailments are really related to what you're going through, you know, and how you're feeling. And asthma was just definitely a reaction to what I was dealing with, because I was staying so quiet.
Definitely.
And not sharing with anyone.
Yeah. And I think where we try to, you know, you said displacement, like block it out and push it down and not let it come out, it will come out in some shape or form. And so this is where you do get ailments like asthma. I know when I went through a lot of troubles, I had eczema all over my hands. Yes. It's how these things come out. They're going to come
out. You're right. And I did have eczema as well, like you were saying. And I always suffered from migraines. So migraines as well, because you're just not like really coping with what's actually happening to you in front of your eyes, you know. And it's just... it was definitely a big lesson in the sense that, you know, not speaking up was also because I was so conditioned at a very young age to keep my personal life to myself that it wasn't right to share what is going on. And so to me, speaking up would have been wrong, because to me, that was my normal. You don't say these things. It's taboo. Right. And plus in society, and I mean, it's not really a subject that's still to this day talked all that much about, because women are sometimes looked at, oh, they're making that up, it's not really true. And that really went through my mind as well. And the fear of, oh, will he do something to my reputation and I might not be able to find another job because he has all that power over me. Or you think he has all that power over me.
Because you start thinking, well, you know, you even think to yourself, is it me? Am I, you know, making too much of this? Am I reading the wrong message into it? And then of course, because there's just the two of you in the office, it's your word against his, and it's, you know, who do they believe? And a lot of the time men will say, well, it's only banter, I'm only messing about, I didn't mean it.
Exactly. And again, because it was just the two of us, who do you really go speak to, right? And the thing is, it was the two of us for 2 years, and then the last 3 years after that, he chose to move into another office where I was actually being shared with another company. And that at first was like thinking, oh my gosh, like he's already hard enough to deal with. How am I going to deal with another company? I don't think I can handle this. But I figured, you know, well, I'm in it, I'll just give it a try, you know. And then my husband lost his job too, so it was like I felt the pressure, I can't just leave this either, you know. So I just, you know, tagged along. But he actually got even like way worse, like, than he was in the first 2 years, because the people that I worked with, the newer company, let's call it, were not very physically present. They weren't really there. They would just come in from time to time. So again, there was a lot of times where it's just him and I, and there was another man kind of using the office, but, you know, I guess, I don't know if he didn't notice or what, but he wouldn't do things when people were paying attention. He was more careful. And he also was not necessarily, it was not just the sexual harassment. He would also be very mean sometimes and just putting me down in certain ways, where if a business person would come in, you know, he'd put me up on this pedestal, what it's such a great person I am. And then the next minute he's just tearing me down, like, why are you taking so long? And it so really played on a lot on my confidence and my self-esteem, because it just was a terrible environment to be in.
Yeah, but yeah. And again, when that things like that happen, we blame ourselves. We think it's us, and it's not. It's him that obviously had the problem. So when you were working in the office with the other company, was that mainly males as well, or were there women there?
Well, it's also a family. So it was a family business. So yeah, there was one male and two women, let's just say, but they weren't there. Like, two of them are out of town. And the one female that was there, I wasn't doing a lot with her personally in person too often. You know, they would often call, and I would do stuff more from a distance for them. So in those 3 years, I wasn't seeing them too much. So a lot of people noticed he was like a specific or special kind of person, I guess you could say, but no one really knew deep down what was going on. But this new company was so kind to me that I think it was a lesson. Now that I look back, it was a lesson to teach me that, wow, I deserve better. These people are just so wonderful. Like, at first I thought, okay, when is the next shoe going to drop? These people are too good to be true. This is not possible. Because even prior to this boss, like, I never really had a boss that treated me very nicely. Right. So I just didn't think it made sense. But I'm like, but, you know, I kept seeing how nice they would treat me. And my goal was, one day I want to just work for these people. I don't want to be treated like this anymore. I deserve better, you know? So I could see that. I just didn't see the way out at that time. So I just lasted for an extra 3 years out in that particular situation. And there were many times where I thought of speaking to my actual male boss, like the other company, to tell them, I don't know what to do. I don't know. But I was just too scared. As you said, what will they think of me? Yeah. You know, maybe you dress differently. You know, sometimes it just goes to that. Oh, you dress differently. And it came to the point where I didn't even know how to dress for work at some points, because I was just, oh, if I wear this, he's going to say that. If I wear this, he's going to say that. And I didn't know what to do. Even in out of an office setting, it became an issue. I didn't know, oh, this is not appropriate. I shouldn't be wearing this anymore. This
you start losing your confidence more and more as he chips away at it. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And was it just words, or was there any like unwanted touching going on, or?
Well, there was one particular instance that I remember. I was in his office. He was sitting at his desk at his computer, and he needed help with something. So I came to look, and I was kind of looking, let's call it, over his shoulder onto the computer. And I was near him. So he just grabbed me and sat me on his lap. And I just got up so quickly thinking, what is this all about? Like, what are you trying to do? I didn't really say anything. I just went back to doing things, but it just really caught me off guard. And just anytime, like, if he would approach me, I just get like really almost freeze and not know what to do, because it just made me so uncomfortable.
Oh dear. Okay. And what about the other partner then? He was away quite a lot of the time, but was he available to talk to? Presumably not. You couldn't talk to him either?
I could have, I suppose, but not in the office, because there was not enough privacy to do that. So.
And again, if they're partners, you don't know whose side he's going to take, do you? And you could have found yourself out of a job, which it makes it so, so difficult.
Yeah. And as you said, not wanting to be out of a job, you know, I tried to look at all the positive sides of my job, and even the positive sides of the boss, like, you know, just trying to like figure out how do I get out of this, you know. But, you know, then, like I said, my husband lost his job at one point, and then my son was going through bullying at school. And I thought, I can't afford to go start a new job. I know what I'm dealing with here. You know, it was just the extra pressure. But when you think of, now that I think back, it's like I was being bullied at the same time, you know, and not realizing I deserved better too, not just my son, you know, and I'm just thinking of that now as you think back.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. And I think, again, as women, as wives and mothers, we think we have to be the strong one. We've got to cope when all else is falling down around us. So with your son's problems and your husband's problems, you weren't allowed to have problems as well in your head. You think, no, I've got to cope with this.
Exactly.
It makes it even harder. And did your family notice any difference in you?
They never really mentioned it. I mean, I did confide in my husband at times that how special my boss would be with certain things he would say and do. So he knew he was particular as well, but he just didn't know that it went to that extent. And my fear to tell him would be he put the pressure on to get out. And as I said, there was just too much happening. I didn't know how I would deal with all of this new stuff all at the same time. As you said, I may be strong, but I thought, I don't think I can handle that as well, you know?
No. So how did you get out then? What made you leave in the end?
Well, as I mentioned, because I was working for that other company, and earlier on when my husband had lost his job and that other boss was becoming like so almost possessive, and it was just really hard to work in the environment. And they were actually supposed to be sharing me, but he was pretty much taking all of my time. And so I kind of, and he wouldn't listen to me if I spoke to him. He would just brush it off. Oh, it'll get better, and things like that. Mm-hmm. But it still wasn't fair to the other company. So I did speak to that my other boss and the newer company. And I mentioned, listen, he's hogging my time. Is there anything you can do? Because I can't really get any of the work done for any of you if he's always taking on my time. And I also had mentioned, I said, I don't know if I can really handle this too much. And with my husband losing his job, he's like, listen, if ever, you know, something were to happen, we really enjoy, you know, working with you, and we find you very efficient, and we'd take you on. And that stayed in the back of my mind. Okay, that's my goal. I'm going to manifest that. That's what I want. I want to just work for these people. I don't want to continue working for this. And so eventually, as I saw that the lease was coming up to be renewed, about a year prior that I saw it was coming up, I approached this boss and I said, listen, I don't think I can do this anymore. Like, this is just too much for me working for two companies. I'd rather just focus on one because it's just too stressful. Like, I was always like leaving myself all these messages, like, don't forget this, don't forget that, because it's just a lot. I mean, it's two small family businesses. And then you have the outside people as well, like the spouse is sometimes calling you. So it involves a lot of people, and it's a lot to remember for one person. So I thought, I can't do this anymore. And I mentioned it to him, and he's like, okay, well, we're going to figure something out because we want to keep you. So they came up with the idea of working from home for them. And, you know, we would figure out the details of how we would work it. And so that's what I did. And then I just approached them, and I actually called the meeting, even though like we had decided together that we were going to do this. I called the meeting with the two companies and asked them if we could speak, because I said, I can't do this anymore. And I want out. Like, I, you know, I'm giving you enough notice, I think almost 9 months or something notice, so you could figure out what you need to do. But once the lease is up, I'm gone. I can't do this anymore. But this was in the back of my mind. Like, my other boss and I already knew what our plan was. It was more to get rid of the other situation, you know? And so, of course, he was extremely upset about it. I hurt his ego. He still wanted me to do certain things. How can you still do this while you're at home, you know? I'm like, no, it defeats the purpose. I want to just work for one company, not two, you know? So that's kind of how I got out of it, by using that, you know, desire to work for people that really treat me with kindness and respect. And it's a mutual thing, you know, it's not just a one-sided thing.
Yeah. And it's almost like on a unconscious level, the other company kind of maybe had an inkling of what was going on. They must have realized that you weren't happy, and they must also have realized, having worked with him for a while, that he wasn't a nice person.
Yeah, they did notice that, but I mean, they only officially found out about everything after, like I mentioned, when that other person was getting harassed and she asked if I would help with her. That's when I decided I better tell them, because if ever like it has to go to court or anything like that, I need them to be aware, because I don't want them to find out some weird way, you know. That's when I opened up and I told everyone, like, and everyone was so surprised, you know. I mean, like I said, yes and no, because they knew he was particular, but not to that extent.
Yeah. And so how did it come about with the other lady then? So you left and he obviously took somebody new on who then started having the same problem. How did she approach you, or did you realize she'd made a complaint and step up to help her then? Or
it's interesting because I still had mail going there for a while at that office, because since we were working from home, we agreed we'll leave the mail go there, you know, just to see, because we wanted to give it maybe about a year to see if we were all satisfied with the situation. So we kind of kept a little bit of a presence, if you could call it that, at the office without physically being there. So I would go from time to time, and sometimes she would call me for questions. You know, I was open to that. I didn't have an issue. I'm that way. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So, but then one day I said, I said some comment in passing. I don't honestly remember what it was, but it was something about how he was. And I guess that led her to believe, oh, wait a minute, maybe she was going through the same thing I am. And so I think one time out of the office during lunch or something, because I was there and we met, and she kind of asked me questions. And then she, when she did file her complaint, she asked, you know, like, because I think it was not more than a year for her when she filed her complaint. And, you know, she knew that I had been with him for 5. And she said, would you share your story to help with my case so they could see that it's not just me, let's say, making it up or whatever they would want to think, right? And I said, definitely. That's when I said, that's it. It's time I speak up. This is ridiculous. Like, why am I trying to protect this man? Like, there's no reason to protect him. He was not evil. Like, I mean, like you said, he was the one with the problem. It wasn't me. So I want to help this person, you know, and I like helping people. And it was just like, now I need to speak up. And that's when, you know, it was a call though. And I did like share whatever I needed to share with them. And I didn't know if ever would they would call me to court or not, because I didn't know how far it would go. I never officially got called. I was definitely very scared if I had to be called and face him.
Yeah.
I never accused him of anything officially myself, right? So I don't really know how that turned out, because she wasn't obviously allowed to tell me what happened. But yeah, that's
okay. So you don't know what the actual outcome was then?
No, that she wasn't allowed to share it with me.
Okay.
So do you know what became confidential?
Yeah. So presumably she also left the company, so she wasn't working for him. And did he carry on working with his partner, or do you know what happened to
him? I don't know, because the partner and the 3 years where I was being shared, he wasn't very present. So like, I don't know how much they were working together all that much. I think it was slowly dying down. Mm. So I don't really know. And I honestly, after she left, I don't know if he was even allowed to hire anyone to help him. I don't know what said, I don't know what happened. So I hope that he was at least, if anything, that he wasn't allowed to hire anyone to help him anymore, because you know, no one should go through that again.
No, definitely. No. And was he married?
Yes.
Yeah.
And his wife knew me as well, because she would call me and I'd help her with things and, you know, things like that. So it made it very awkward and uncomfortable because you know what he's doing to you, and then you meet the wife and it's just so odd.
Mm. And did she seem like she didn't have a lot of confidence, or did she seem normal sort of thing?
No, she seemed like she had confidence, but I wonder deep down if she really knew what he was like, you know,
yeah, in terms just of
like a womanizer,
a different person at home or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I wonder. Yeah. It's hard to say, you know? Yeah.
So after all of that, then obviously it must have been a relief for you to think, well, I've told my story. It's out there. How did you then feel? How long did it take you to build your confidence back up?
Well, that's a good question, because at first when I finally admitted it, I was a bit of a mess, because now I really admitted, oh, wow, I went through sexual harassment for 5 years with not even my husband knowing, no one to share this with but myself. Mm. So I was a bit of a mess. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then you kind of opened up the floodgates then. So it's all going to start bubbling up to the surface.
Exactly. So I had the person that, you know, as I said, it happened to, like she said, you know, I've been going to therapy and it's been helping me. Maybe you should consider doing the same. And so I did, because I thought, I don't know how to fix this, you know. So I went to see a therapist and we worked through some of that and things like that. But there was one instance where I remember I was invited to a holiday party during Christmas time, and it was a business thing. And so a lot of people go, and I was, my husband couldn't come at the last minute because he had a conflict in his schedule. So I went with a friend, and as we're about to walk up the stairs to this place, I see him there, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I don't want to go in there. I kind of froze because this was not long after I had finally admitted what had gone wrong, and I had gone through some therapy, and I just didn't know what to do because I'm like, I don't want to see him. I don't want to have anything to do with this man. I don't even have to acknowledge that he's there. My friend that was with me, I mentioned to her what had happened, and so she kind of knew. I said, that's him. That's him. I can't go in right now. So I just needed a few minutes to kind of compose myself and calm myself down and think, wait a minute, he's not going to make me stop doing things just because he's there. I'm not going to let him take that power from me again. So we went in, and I was still crossing my fingers that I wouldn't come face to face with him because it was a big, large gathering. So I mean, it didn't mean I would see him. And luckily I didn't. And we had such a great time that night. So I didn't let it spoil anything, but it was something that recurred every year. So every year was like, oh, he might be there again. And I remember one year I wore it was a few years after that first time that I noticed he was there. I wore a nice dress, and it was a long dress, but it was a bit more like, let's call it lower cut. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh gosh, if I bump into him, he's going to say something. And then I thought, you know what? No, I'm not going through this again. I am not going to let him make me wonder if I should wear this or that. I'm not trying to attract any trouble. Mm-hmm. Too bad. I look pretty in this. I'm wearing this and I feel good in it. And I did go with what I originally wanted to wear, but it really plays on your mind a lot. And it took a while. Because even trust in men became an issue. I every time anyone would approach me anywhere in any setting, I remember one time it was in the grocery store, a man approached me and he was smiling at me and said, hi. And my first instinct sometimes is like, what does he want from me? Mm. What is his intention? I don't want to talk to this man, you know, and I get all angry and frustrated. Yeah. But then I'm like, okay, calm down. Not everybody, sometimes people are lonely. Maybe they just want to say hi and they're friendly. Don't think the worst of everyone. And that's not in my nature in general, but it just became, I can't trust men anymore.
No, because you don't know what's going to happen. But I mean, you're a pretty woman. Men are going to smile at you, aren't they? And they're going to say hello and not necessarily mean anything by it. They just like to, you know, they like to meet people, don't they? Like to be polite and say hello to pretty women. Well, any women, really.
Right. Yeah, and sometimes just as you said, just as sometimes pass a comment, oh, you're pretty, and then I would maybe take it the wrong way, like, oh my gosh, he wants some. And it doesn't mean he's being mean or unintentional or something, right? But it's just like my first thoughts were, I don't know what this is, you know. And and the way I slowly rebuilt trust is I through Facebook, I kind of reconnected with a friend from high school, a male friend, and one time and he's also married, so am I, and we got together for lunch one day, and you know, he was really nice about it. And we got together a couple of times, my husband and his wife. And it's just slowly, like, he helped me regain that confidence. Okay, so he was being nice to me just because, you know, that's who he is. And
that's
there
what
was
you
no
do,
ulterior
yeah.
motive. Yeah, and there was no ulterior motive. He didn't want anything from me other than friendship, right? But I mean, I won't lie. Sometimes I still have that thought, like if someone will approach me or if they give me that weird vibe, you know, because sometimes you just feel it.
But to be honest, I mean, that's a good thing. That is a good thing, isn't it? That's really what I think women should, you know, work on, that inner knowing when something isn't quite right. Because I think a lot of the times women don't act on it. And this is where you do start to get into trouble. Because really, you know, thinking back, as soon as that boss made the first comment, you should really have said something to him then, and that this is not acceptable. If you do that again, I'm going to report you. And it doesn't matter then what he says, oh, it's just banter, blah, blah, blah. No, you don't do that. That's my boundary. You're not going to cross it. And I think young women aren't taught to do that. And that's one of the things that I personally think they should be taught.
You're right. I mean, and I do have a lot of inner, like, knowing and like a lot of good feelings, just that gut, you just know, and you can't even explain why. But I didn't always listen to it, as you said, because I just, as you said, we're not taught these things. I mean, even like something as simple as loving and respecting yourself should be something we should be taught at a very young age, even in school. And it should be a mandatory thing, because I was always taught as a young child, respect your elders, respect your teachers, your bosses, whatever, right? But no one ever taught me that if they don't respect me, I have a right to speak up and say something, because it's not because they're either older than me or they're an authoritarian figure that they could say whatever they want to me, you know? Mm-hmm. And that should be taught to every person at a young age, so they know that this is not right. I'm allowed to say something and you can't, you know, punish me for it, type of thing, right?
That's it. Yeah, that's absolutely right. I totally believe that. And it's not in any, I don't think in any country in the world, it's just not taught. Boys should be taught to respect themselves and to respect women. And women should be taught to, you know, put their boundaries in place and have respect for themselves and their own bodies and on what they will and won't accept. You're absolutely right. So how are you feeling these days then?
Well, this was a good thing for me because, as I mentioned before, like speaking up is not something, or speaking about anything very personal like this is not something I've done. So having planned this with you a little while ago, it made me feel really good knowing like I'm hoping to make a difference and helping, even if it's just one person out there, make that move, like don't stay in this situation. It made me feel good knowing I was going to do this with you and step out of my comfort zone and speak up and share my story, because as I said, it's not something you see shared too much. I mean, a few years back when that whole Weinstein scandal happened and the Me Too movement was going on social media, I remember putting just Me Too on my thing, you know, because I was already like, you know, feeling better about speaking about it. And I remember a Facebook friend reaching out and sharing their story with me. And they said, wow, I can't believe this happened to you, but it can happen to anyone. You can be the most confident person and it could still end up destroying your confidence because of, depending on how long you're with this situation, right? But it really, especially 5 years, it's a long time to deal with such behavior and not have anyone to deal with. Yeah. Or to help you, support you through it, kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, there's probably women out there now that are going through it and not even realizing what they're going through. It's just, oh, it's just the way my boss is. Oh, it's just what men do and blah, 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 and not speaking up.
Exactly.
So this is why these types of stories are important.
Yeah, you're exactly right, because that's pretty much what I said. Oh, well, it's just the way he is. I can't change him, right? But why should I have to accept it, right? It's fine if that's the way he wants to be, but I shouldn't like accept it, and I don't deserve to be treated with this, you know, behavior.
No, absolutely.
And as I said, because I was brushing it off all the time, like brushing it under the carpet, and I wasn't admitting that I was actually going through this. So as you said, other people maybe will recognize, like based on what we're discussing, oh, that's me. Like this is happening to me and this is not appropriate. Yeah.
So if somebody is thinking that, or if they wanted more information about, you know, what they should do, how would somebody contact you?
You will put my information in my social media information in the notes.
Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes for you.
Yeah, and they could contact me through social media.
Brilliant.
Through Facebook and Instagram. Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. I should put that in the show notes. And is there a message that you want to leave listeners with?
Definitely. If you are going through something similar, or if anything that I've said has hit something with you, then please, please, please speak to someone and get the support you need. I'm going to get emotional. Get out of this situation, because it will destroy you and it's not worth it. And, you know, please take your power back. Don't let this person take their power, your power away, I mean, and take your power back, get out, get information on how you can get out, or file the complaint, do whatever you need to do. But most of all, love yourself and be kind and patient with yourself through this process of what you're going through and your healing process, and reach out to me anytime. And maybe we can help each other.
That's lovely. Thank you for that. And I think, there are mean bosses, but there are lovely bosses as well. And I think the lovely outweighs the mean. So if you're with somebody you can't connect with, then get out of there. Like you say, you know, there are other jobs.
Exactly. And I mean, it doesn't always necessarily mean it's sexual harassment. It could just be bullying as well. And just get out. It's not worth, you know, what it's doing to you and your self-esteem. So yeah, respect yourself and get out, because you deserve to be like loved and respect as well. And as you said, like the kindness outweighs it. I mean, I'm just so blessed to be with this new company, and they were my savior. They helped me realize this. And at the same time, also, like, it's all the whole experience of these 5 years was a great learning experience, because it taught me how strong I am, and I can get through anything that life will throw at me if I did that all on my own, basically, because I had no one else but myself to rely on, right?
So it shows how much strength you do have. And this is, I think this is the theme through all of these stories, is that we have these things happen to us to teach us a lesson. So either to teach us something that we can then pass on, or to give us a message that we can then pass on. I think this is why we go through these issues, and it's what we do next that matters.
Exactly. And it's not something you want to necessarily erase, because it makes you who you are now, right?
So that's it. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Lovely. Okay, well, it's been lovely talking to you, and thank you so much. I know you were nervous about coming on. You've done brilliantly. So thank you for coming on. And hopefully, if anybody is out there listening, they'll find the strength to do what you did and do it sooner.
Exactly. That's my hope, that they do it much sooner. Don't wait like I did.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here today. It's been lovely talking to you.
Thank you so much, Sue. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
And you. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to today's story. And as always, if you want to ensure you don't miss any future episodes, then please subscribe. And if you yourself have a story to tell, then please do get in touch with me. I'd love to hear from you. And until next week, take care of yourself, stay safe, and I will see you soon. Goodbye.